I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus, chapter 2, please. I'd like to begin reading in the 11th verse, and we'll read down through verse 15. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in the 11th verse. Scriptures tell us, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now you'll remember that in the first part of this chapter, when the baby Moses was born, there was an edict that said the first that the male children were to be executed at birth. They were to be thrown into the river. But when Moses was born, they saw the child and they had compassion. Verse 6, they had compassion, verse 2, he was a goodly child. And then in verse 6, they had compassion on him when they saw him in the reeds and amongst the bulrushes that were growing. And he was rescued by the house of Pharaoh. And so the irony of the story is that Pharaoh's daughter went and said, "We have a baby. We need someone to nurse this baby." And it ended up being the mother of Moses. And so God just worked this out miraculously. Well, now Moses is grown in our story. And he knows that he's an Hebrew. He knows that. And so he goes out and to look upon the burden that the children of Israel are having to endure. And in verse 11, he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now look at verse 12. And he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 12, the Bible says that he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. And then I want you to notice in verse 14, the Bible here says that this fellow said, "Do you intend to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses in verse 14 said, "Surely this thing is known." Now, I want to speak to you tonight from these verses, and I want to entitle my sermon tonight, "When No One Is Watching." When no one is watching. And let's pray together. Our Father, we just thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, on every page there is a lesson to be learned. Lord, there are so many wonderful things in the Bible. And Lord, for all these years now, I've stood up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and many other nights in between, and have said, "Open your Bible." And yet, Lord, there's still things to learn, still lessons to be learned. There are still truths to be seen. And Lord, I pray that you will bless tonight and open our understanding that we might see what we need to see this evening to help us be better servants for you. And Lord, as we rejoice in the numbers that we have just heard about the buses today, Lord. We just pray that, Lord, we will keep our hearts in good stead with you, that we'll not let things creep in that would keep us from enjoying the blessings that we just heard a while ago. And Lord, everybody needs to be a part. Everybody needs to be involved. And so help us, Lord, to just see the working of the Spirit tonight and see how the Lord's dealing in our hearts, that, Lord, we might stay on track. And Lord, bless us richly, we pray. I ask you, Lord, to fill me and help me as I preach tonight. But Lord, we also pray that we'll all have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. So, Lord, bless us now richly. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We have before us tonight a very familiar story, but a story that I'm not sure I've ever preached a message from. I was thinking about that this afternoon, and I'm not sure that I've ever preached from this passage of Scripture a regular sermon. I've taught it in different areas, but I'm not sure that I've ever really preached a sermon from this. But I sat down a couple of weeks ago and read this, started reading the book of Exodus one morning just for myself. And when I got to this 12th verse, that little phrase, I guess just the way it was phrased, it kind of jumped out at me. And I've been thinking on it ever since. The 12th verse says, "And he looked this way and that. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." I thought, wow, that's a strange thing that God told us here about Moses. Here's a great man, and here's a terrible deed that he committed against this Egyptian fella. He saw this Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew, and he stepped in, and he killed the Egyptian. Now, folks, let me say right from the outset, this was not nice. All right? This was not a nice thing to do. He shouldn't have killed this man. Now, you know, he just shouldn't have done this. But there is an observation that we can glean from the story here, and I want you to consider something before I actually get to the point that I want to make with you tonight. I want you to think about the fact that he killed this man. I mean, this shows us a truth that we all know too well. Moses learned that it was not going to be easy to deliver God's people from the powerful Egyptian yoke. He learned it was not going to be an easy thing to do. And you know, this is always the way things are, is it not? It's never easy to do the right thing. It's never easy to do what God calls you to do. You know, you would think that the ministry would just be the easiest thing in the world. But it's not the easiest thing in the world. It's like pulling hen's teeth. It's difficult. It's a difficult task. I mean, you know, the devil is just not going to sit back and let us do the work of God without his intervening. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a fight. And the devil is going to make sure that that happens. But it's this way with everything we do when you think about it. I mean, just think for a minute about your annual family vacation. All right? You have the highest of hopes. You know, you have the highest of hopes that you're going to have a great, peaceful, stress-free week. And the trouble starts before you even get the car packed to get ready to leave. And then it doesn't let up until Friday, and you have to come home on Saturday. So, you know, it's like this with everything that we do. So Moses had to learn from the outset that it was not going to be easy to deliver the Israelites from the mighty Pharaoh and his powerful people, the land of Egypt. But folks, it never is easy to do anything for the Lord. Never. Never. I often have had, through the years, I often have had folks come and say, "You know, Pastor, I was doing so well in my Christian life. I was reading my Bible and I was faithful to church. And then I heard somebody say that we had an opening in the Sunday school, or I heard somebody say that we needed help on a bus route. And so I volunteered my services to help teach, or I volunteered my services to work on the bus. And it has just been nothing but chaos ever since I did that. Did I do the right thing? Well, my dear friend, listen, by the very fact that trouble rises up when you start to do something for God shows you that you have indeed done the right thing. I mean, the devil is not going to sit back and let you work for God and not try to stand in your way. Now, no doubt Moses was sorely provoked by this Egyptian beating this poor, defenseless man. But it certainly was not cause for murder. But we know from this and from some other passages of Scripture that Moses was a man with a hot, fiery temper. We know that about him. The man who got angry and shattered the tablets of stone that God had given him that had the Ten Commandments written on them by the finger of God. I mean, you know, here's a guy that came off the mountain carrying an armload of the Word of God and sees the children of Israel dancing around the golden calf, and his temper just went off, and he ended up taking those tablets and breaking them in front of the golden calf. So he must have been a man with a short fuse. There are many instances in the Scripture where Moses lost his temper, where he just exploded and did something that he later regretted. You know, in our culture today, we are expected to step in when we see injustices being forced upon someone else. But unless we were threatened with death ourselves, wouldn't most of us stop short of beating someone to death? Well, yes, we would, but not Moses. He beat this man until he killed him and then hid him in the sand. You know, I've often wondered when Moses was up on the mountain with God and God gave him the Ten Commandments, just what went through his mind when the hand of God reached down upon the tablet of stone and wrote the words, "Thou shalt not kill." I just wonder, did his mind flash back to the hour when, in a fit of rage, he took this Egyptian's life and buried his body in the sand, all the while thinking that no one had seen what he had done? And I can almost with full assurance guarantee you that he did. But it is not that that I want to speak on tonight. I want you to look at a very interesting statement that hit me out of verse 12. I want you to look at this statement. The Bible says that he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. Now, there's a few things that I want to call to your attention concerning the thought when no one is watching. Let's look carefully at that 12th verse again, and then there are a few things I want to point out to you. Look at verse 12. It says, "And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." The first thing I want you to consider with me tonight is this. You know, to think that no one sees us often makes it easy for us to sin. When we think that no one is watching, it makes it easy for us to sin. The Bible says that Moses looked this way and that, and he didn't see anyone. So he went ahead and did what was in his heart to do, and that's kill this poor fella. He could do this because he thought no one was watching. Now, as I thought about that, I don't think that this is implying that there was absolutely nobody in the area. I doubt very seriously that it was just Moses and this fella. I doubt very seriously that Moses went over, stopped the, the Egyptian and then sent the other man away and waited until the other man was completely gone so that it was just one-on-one. Because we do learn that in verse 13, when he the next day he came upon two Hebrew men that were fighting with each other, and Moses stepped in and said, "Why are you smacking this fella? Why are you hitting him?" And the other fellow said, "Well, who do you think you are? Who made you a judge over me? Are you going to kill me as well?" So he was seen, wasn't he? But he thought that he was not seen. I don't think that this is saying that there was not anyone out or there was not anybody around. I'm sure that others were out and about. But when Moses looked around, he didn't see anyone who was, at least to him, paying attention to what was going on. And didn't see anyone that, as far as he was concerned, who cared about the situation or the fact that Moses had stepped in there and stopped this. I mean, he didn't think anybody was paying attention. He didn't think anybody cared. He didn't think anybody was watching. And so he went ahead and killed this man. And folks, I cannot help but think that had even one eye been focused upon what was happening, Moses would never have lifted his hand to slay this man. I think he knew the consequences. I think he knew what he would have to face. But when he looked around and he saw no one, he said, "I think that I can get away with this." He knew that Pharaoh would be very displeased with his action, but when he saw the brutality of this Egyptian, he just had to act. And when he looked around, he noticed that he was not watched. And it was that fact, that he was not seen, that brought him to the place where he went ahead and stood in the face of this man and killed him. Now, I got to thinking about something else. You know, there's a story in the New Testament that is kind of similar. The end result, the end results are not the same, but there's a similar story in the New Testament that happened when the Lord Jesus was taken into the house of Caiaphas to be tried. And you'll remember that just outside in the courtyard, there were some people that had built a fire, and they were warming themselves by the fire, and the Apostle Peter went over and warmed himself by the fire. What made it so easy for Peter to deny the Lord Jesus when he was standing by that fire? As he stood there, why do you think that it was so easy for him to deny that he was one of the disciples? Why do you think it was so easy for him to curse and try to throw the others off the trail that they were on in trying to identify him as one of Christ's disciples? Well, what made it so easy for Peter to fall that night was he thought there was no one there to see him. He didn't think that any of those people standing around the fire knew him. He didn't think that any of them had any knowledge at all of who he was. Let me ask you something, folks. Do you think Peter would have ever denied his Lord had any of the other disciples been there? I doubt it very seriously. He probably would never have done what he did, but he looked to his left and he looked to his right and he didn't see anyone. You know, I think had Philip been there, and maybe just a word from Philip, or maybe just a glance from John, and that would have brought him back to his real self, to his true self. But in a moment's time, in a flash, Peter denied the Lord and denied that he had spent 3.5 years with him as one of his trusted disciples. You see, Peter looked this way and that way and saw no man, no man who knew him, no man who understood, and in the sudden assurance that he was unobserved, Peter denied his Lord. So, folks, I'm simply saying that to think that no one sees us often makes it easy for us to disobey the Lord. But there's a second thing I want to point out. I want to point out to you that our world today, I'm talking about right now, I'm talking about us right here tonight, we face the same perils. We face the same circumstances. You know, we talk about Moses and Peter, but listen to me, dear friend. We are all still prone today to think in this same light and feel the same way as they felt. Hey, nobody's looking. Hey, nobody's going to see. So I'm just going to go ahead and do what is in my heart to do. And boy, the devil comes along and whispers and says to us, hey, not a soul is looking. Hey, go ahead. Go ahead. And the next thing you know, we're flying headlong into offending our Lord and our Savior. For instance, you know, when we're away from home, when we're out of town, away from those that know us, we better be careful. We'd better be careful. I mean, if we're home, we're going to go to church on Sunday. If we're home, we're going to redeem the time by being in Sunday school and church in the morning service. And then if we're home, we're going to go back on the Sunday for the Sunday evening service. But when we are out of town, we often do 100 things on Sunday, but not a one of the 100 is to attend church. My friend, listen to me. Vacation season's coming up, and I want to challenge you tonight. Listen, if you attend church at home, attend church when you're not at home. But the temptation is to look this way and then look that way, and you don't see anyone who knows you or who cares, and so you don't do what you ought to do. You feel a certain freedom when you're away. You feel a certain freedom when you're out of town and feel that the neighbors don't know you. So what's the harm? Well, dear friend, listen. When we have that freedom to take liberties, certain liberties, when we know no one is watching, that's when we're living in dangerous ground. Let me just say something to our young people here. I want all of our young people to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Young people, this is why it is so important for you to have your convictions in line, to know what you believe, to know why you believe it, and to have the line drawn in the sand that you will not cross before you leave the comforts of home and before you leave the comfort zone of your church and before you get out from under the watchful eye of your youth pastor, before you get out from under the watchful eye of your pastor, and before you get out from under the watchful eye of mom and dad. You better have your convictions settled before you ever walk away from that which has given you protection through the years. For you will certainly be tempted to think that no one is watching. And you certainly will be tempted to think that you can do something that you can get away with. And you better be careful, young people, because you could very easily do something that could scar you for the rest of your life. You know, when you look this way and that way and you don't see anyone and all of a sudden you feel that devil pushing you to try to get you to go ahead, why don't you just stop and realize, whoa, wait a minute, I don't see anybody this way and I don't see anybody this way. I don't see anybody behind me and there's certainly no one in front of me, but wait a minute, there's somebody above you. There's somebody up there watching you. And you better look in the upward direction. You see, if you're a child of God, there is always one who sees and understands your every thought and deed. And if you are a Christian, you will always have an audience with God who is watching over you. So I say to you, when you're out of town, when you're away from those that know you, you better be careful, dear friend, because what tripped up Moses could very easily trip you up as well. But then there's another area. Not only when we're out of town, but there's another area that we better guard ourselves against. Another area we come face to face with this is in the security of our own home. I mean, you know, there are men whom the world can find no fault in you at all, but at home, where nobody, where none of us ever see you, your behavior is not what it ought to be. Boy, it got quiet right there, didn't it? I mean, you are not about to treat us the way you treat your kids, your wife, your dog. I mean, if you treated us, your church family, the way you treat your own family in the home, we would probably, in Christian love, make you sit in the corner by yourself. And by the way, God's watching that as well. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not saying you should be at home just what you are in public. My goodness, there should be a happy freedom that you have at home that you cannot nor should not display in a public setting. But the truth is, there are a lot of folks who see home as a place to let their old sinful nature just run loose. Be careful. Be careful. Why is that? Well, because you think nobody sees you there, that's why. And you look to the left, and then you look to the right, and you don't see any of us. You look over to the window, and you don't see Pastor Stainer looking through the window at you. You look out the back window, and you don't see Pastor Allen standing over there peeking in to see how you're doing. And so you just think, well, hey, this is my place, this is my home, and I can just do what I want. So you just throw your temper around, you belittle your children, and you treat your family like dirt. Listen, dear friend, when World War III breaks out in your home before church, and then there's a nuclear holocaust in the car as you're driving to church, and then you pull into the parking lot, and automatically everyone just puts their church smiles on and plays charades through church, we wonder why there is no blessing and no power and no hearing from heaven. Dear friend, listen, you be careful here. Be careful. Oh, the peril of being unobserved. But then there's a third thought that I call to your attention. Unobserved sins may have huge consequences. Now, we found that to be true, didn't we? I mean, just look here. Look at verse 12 again. He looked this way and that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. And then he buried him in the sand. Well, I bet that was the quickest funeral that anybody ever had. Covering that body up. Ooh wee. Man, he was in a hurry to cover that up. Didn't want to be seen. But he was seen, wasn't he? He didn't know it until the next day. Verse 13 says, he went out the second day, and behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Why are you doing this? Why are you hitting that guy? Why are you hitting him? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses what?
Feared.
Oh, I bet his heart just went down in his shoes or sandals. I bet his heart just went all the way down into his sandals. Surely, he said in his heart, this thing is known. Surely, this thing is known. Moses saw no man. His sin was unobserved, and he thought he was free. But wait a minute. Folks, I want you to realize that his sin greatly changed his future. His sin greatly changed his future. He thought he had covered his sin, and he thought he was home free, but he wasn't. And what happened? Well, go down to verse 15. It says, but Moses, middle of the verse, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. He fled. bitterest of lessons, that those sins which we imagine no man sees are still sins against God. I mean, you know, the best days of your life, of your life just might be lost through an unobserved sin. And our power for service might be thrown away because of an unobserved sin. Oh, dear friend, I urge you to realize tonight that you cannot escape the consequences of undetected sin. You know, Moses thought he got away with it, but somebody saw him. Somebody saw him, and they saw what he had done, and he was called on it the very next day. Hey, dear friend, listen, learn the lesson that there will always be those with eyes to see what we have done. Learn that what is done in secret will be shouted from the housetops. So when nobody sees me in my own house, can I remind you, you got children? Can I remind you, your children are not dumb? Can I remind you that they listen to every word? I've told our church family this before, but years ago, on the airplane Friday when I was flying home, there was a man and a woman. They had a 2.5-year-old. Little boy, and they had twin daughters. And oh, I just sat there and relived the moments. Man, both of them screaming bloody murder as they walked on the airplane. I said, hallelujah, thank God it's you and not me, girl. And they came back and sat down across from us, and the man had this look of, oh, my soul, in his eyes. And I was grinning from ear to ear, and he just shook his head at me, and I said, sir, it does get better. He looked at me and he said, do you have twins? I said, yes, sir. He said, how old are they? I said, they're 27. They're grown. Hallelujah. They're married. They're on their own. They're somebody else's problem now. Amen. But it will get better, I said. But I've told this story before, but it needs to be repeated here. Years ago, we had all three of them in the back seat, in the car seat. And I pulled up to a stoplight, and there was a car in front of me. And I came up behind, y'all hold it down over there. I pulled up behind the car, stoplight. And evidently the angle was just right, and Lauren could see the light. And when the light turned green, the car in front of me did not go. They just sat there. He wasn't paying attention. And all of a sudden, there was this little voice that came out of the back seat that said, hey, it's the skinny pedal on the right. And Karen said, mm-hmm. Wonder where she got that. Hey, don't tell me they don't watch you. Don't tell me they don't pay attention. You think nobody sees? My dear friend, listen. More sees than what you think. Be careful. You say, well, nobody sees me. That little boy that calls you daddy. That little girl that calls you mommy. Listen, and the scars it places upon them may not clearly be seen by you, but they will be seen by those who get close to them in the years to come. Oh, dear friend, I guess what I'm saying is that for safety's sake, realize that there is always an audience. Please understand that. There are always eyes that are going to and fro upon the earth. And you may be like Moses and think you've gotten away with something. Well, God's still watching. You may be like Moses and think you got away with it, but there was a little child that saw. You thought you got away with it, but in reality, you didn't. You may do something unobserved by us, but dear friend, if it's not observed by us, it's still observed by our Heavenly Father. So let's purpose to live close to the Savior. Let's purpose that we're not looking here and there to see what we can get away with. I mean, let's just make up our mind that we're not just going to go through life seeing what we can get away with. We had this kid in our community, and my mom and dad did not like this kid. And I asked them one day, I said, "What is your problem with Lewis?" And my dad looked at me and said, "He is sneaky. He is sneaky." And I said, "No, he's not." And my dad said, "Son, when you get to be our age, you're going to see that that little snake is sneaky." And I then started to watch. I was about 12, 13, and I then started to watch. And I noticed at 12 and 13, man, my dad's right about this guy. And I would watch him scheme. I would watch him plan. I would watch him manipulate. I would watch him bend the rules. I would watch him. And I thought, wow, man, I hope that I'm able to discern like my dad. I told you all, I grew up thinking my dad was the smartest man in the world. And I still think he is. But my dad could see things. He knew people. He knew character. And I asked him, what's your problem with Lewis? He's sneaky. Oh, my friend, listen, don't live your life sneaking around trying to see what you can get away with. Because you got a God that's watching everything. And here's old Moses. He thought, nobody's going to see this. But my friend, somebody is always watching. And by the way, who's the one that makes us pay for sin? Oh, man can do it. You know? Man can do it. I mean, you remember when your children were growing up, if you caught them doing something, you disciplined them. They disobeyed and you disciplined them. Yeah, there's discipline there. Do you know there were some things you didn't catch? There were some things you didn't catch. Wonder who took care of that for them. Wonder who straightened them out in that area. Oh, be assured, dear friend, God did. God did. And so I'm just wanting you to think a little bit tonight. And let's realize that it doesn't matter if somebody else is watching or not. Because our Heavenly Father is watching. Unobserved sins. Our Heavenly Father is watching. Unobserved sins.